Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Ayin Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Chesk on the base, three lines from the bottom. Katova al Shol Shloim Nispa Kalocha. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Gemara is recounting to us, beginning to tell us why David HaMelech made a gzeira that the Nesinim should not be accepted into Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us that there was a famine in Klal Yisrael for 3 years. And David HaMelech in the first year inspected why it happened. He thought it was because of Avodah Zarah, and it turned out that Klal Yisrael were not doing that Aveira. The second year he was concerned that they were violating Gilui Arayis. It turned out that that wasn't an Aveira. The third year he investigated, perhaps they were pledging tzedakah and weren't following their commitments. He found that that wasn't the problem. So then he asked Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim said that there were two issues. One was that they had not properly made a hesped when Shaul had passed away, and on the other hand, when Shaul thought that David HaMelech was trying to rebel against him, and he was fighting David, and David had hidden in the city of Noiv Ira Kahanim, at Doig's advice, the city was destroyed, and the Gevonim, who were supported by the Kohanim of Noiv, lost their means of support. Says the Gemara, a very interesting observation, says the Gemara. Katov al shol shloim nispa kalocha. On one hand, the Pasuk, the Urim V'Tumim, are concerned about the honor of Shol, that he wasn't properly eulogized. The Katov al Hashem is Gevonim. And at the same time, we see that the Pasuk is, so to speak, angry at Shol, that he did not treat the Gevonim properly, and because of him, the Gevonim passed away. Says the Gemara, in. That is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. Damar Esh Lakish, Mai Diksiv. It says in the Pasuk in Tzanyu, Biksu Esh Hashem Kol Anvi Oretz Asher Mishpat Pa'aloi. All those are humble, we should see Hashem's law. Ba'asher Mishpat Sham Pa'aloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a person and he judges him if he did something improper. But at the same time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges if the person did something improper, for what he did correctly or what he's deserving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also pays attention. And therefore, on one hand, Shaul was the king and he should have been eulogized properly. On the other hand, he did the wrong thing with the Gevonim. And as Rabbi Shnei Kotler used to say in the name of his father, Rabbi Aaron, who would report that Reb Yisrael Salanta, the father of the Musav movement, his minig always was that before he gave a person Musar Teichacha, pointing out that perhaps the person didn't do something properly, at the very same time, Reb Yisrael Salanta would be careful to give the person first kavod, because what he would try to show is that when I'm giving you this Musar, my intent is not because I want to diminish who you are, or to say that you're not deserving of kavod. The kavod you deserve, and the musa you deserve, you also deserve. Amar David. So David HaMelech now, who found out what were the two concerns, says, Shaul, as far as correcting the fact that Shaul was not properly eulogized, Shaul nafkla tver yachisharta, it's past 12 months after Shaul's passing, v'leidaka lemisbedei, and no more, and it's no longer an opportunity to make a hesped. And actually, as Rashi points out, it was ready 30 years since Shaul had died. What the Gemara is trying to teach us, however, is that after 12 months, for when a person is nifter, hespedim are no longer made. Nesinim, as far as the Nesinim are concerned, nikrina v'nefaisina. Let's call them and try to be mefais them, to appease them, that they should no longer be angry. Miyad, V'yikra melech l'gevoinim, v'yoyim aleim, he calls the gevoinim and he says to them, ma esol lachem, what can I do on your behalf? V'ma achapir u'baruchu es nachlas Hashem. How could you forgive, and therefore the inheritance of Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, should no longer be cursed with this terrible hunger? V'yoyim aleim ha'gevoinim, so the gevoinim respond to Dovra melech. Ein lanu kesev v'zov im shovim beisai. We have no claims for money, for gold or silver from the home of Shaul. Vein lanu ish, no, do we want anything from Klal Yisrael. Yita lanu shiva anoshim ibanim, we want seven of his children. V'kanim v'lkei Hashem, that we kanim l'Hashem, that we could hang him up in front of Hashem. Says the Gemara, Mephayis v'loi pesonu. David HaMelech attempted to appease them, they should not make this request, but he was unsuccessful. And as the Medrash points out, first David HaMelech spoke to the Gevoinim as a group, attempting that they should agree to forgive. When that didn't work, he spoke to each of the Gevoinim individually, and that still didn't work. They demanded seven of Shaul's children. The Mefarshim explained why did they want seven, the Yushalmi explains, why did they want seven of Shaul's children? So the Yushalmi says, because during that episode of the city of Noiv Ir Kahanim, seven of Shaul's, of the Gevoinim actually died, and the rest of the Gevoinim, although they were left without food, did not die. So they wanted revenge for the seven of their members of their family who had passed away. So Dovra Melech says, Oma, Shloisha Simonim, Yesh Bumazu. There's three ways that Klal Yisrael are identified. Rachmonim, Beshonim, Goyim Lechsodim. Rachmonim, that they have Rachmonis. The Pasuk says, V'nosin Lecha Rachamim, V'richamecha, V'irbecha. Klal Yisrael have in themselves the Midah of Rachmonis. And as the Orach Chaim explains, this Pasuk of Nosim Charachmim Rechamecha is mentioned at the end of the parasha of Ir Nidachas. We know if there's a city that is found that they're Oivdei Vodazara, the halach is that the city should be destroyed, totally burnt. Teaches us the Pasuk that if Klal Yisrael now have destroyed their entire city, that may cause them to have in them the Midas HaGzorius, that they should become mean people. They destroyed, they burnt the entire city. But since, as we're now learning, one of the fundamental identifying marks of Klal Yisrael is v'nosn, that they rachmonim, that they have in themselves the midas harachmonis. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees them, I will make sure that you will not lose this midah of having rachmonis. By Shonim, the bashful, the ksibavot, to your yirosay al pneichem. A person who has yirosh shemayim has in himself the midah of busha because he's afraid to do the wrong thing. Gavim lechsodim, the ksiv lemanah sheyitzaves bonaves beisoy achrof, that they should dushamru as derech Hashem lasos tzedoko mishpat. So Klal Yisrael are people that do chesed. Whoever have these three marks, Royal Ludovic Bumazu, belong to Klal Yisrael, and anyone else doesn't belong. And the Gevoinim obviously did not have these simonim. And as Mefarshim point out, the Maral already explains that these midos of Rachmonim by Shodim and Gomel Chsodim, we actually already inherited from our avos, Yaakov Avinu, who had a large family, and somebody who has a large family always is practicing Rachmanis as he takes care of his family. Yitzchak was the Midas HaBusha, Pachad Yitzchak, Yirah Shemayim comes from Busha, and Gemilas Chasodim was Avram Avinu, the great Goymel Chesed, Avram Avinu HaKnosos Orchim. And with that, the Mefarshim explain, we could understand why the Pasuk, why the Gemara, when it quotes these psukim, doesn't go in order. First the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Devarim, then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Shemais, and then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Bereishis. Just the opposite of order as they are written in Torah. But as we just explained, from the Maral, that these three midos come from the Avos. The first midah that's identified is Rachmanis, comes from the first of our forefathers, Avraham Avinu. So that pasuk, even though it's in the Devarim, is quoted first. The second midah is from Yitzchak by Shanim, and that's why that's the second pasuk from Shmois that's quoted. And the third midah of Rachmanim that come from Yaakov Avinu is quoted last, because Yaakov Avinu was the last of the Avos. Similarly, along the same lines, explained Mefarshim, that's why we could understand why our Gemara only mentions these midos. Aren't there other characteristics that apply to Klal Yisrael? But the Mefarshim explained that our Gemara is saying that the midos that we're identifying, the midos that we receive from the Avos, from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and these were the three characteristics that identified our Avos. The Gemara says that one of the midos of Klal Yisrael are that they are Beishonim. Ask the Mefarshim, doesn't the Gemara say that Ein Lecha Az Shebu'umos Ela Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael have in themselves this midah of Azaz, of being strong-willed, strong, stubborn people? And our Gemara says that they're Beishonim. So the Pashat Pshat is that a person is supposed to know when to use a midah. Sometimes a person has to have himself the midah Beishonim, Edelkeit. And sometimes a person has to be stronger and he has to have the midah of Azus. Another pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Golus required that we should have the midah of Azus, of being strong and stubborn. Otherwise, how will Klal Yisrael survive in this Golus? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah that will suppress that Azus. And with that, the Mefarshim explained is the tefillah that we are always mispallel. Shibana beis hamigdash b'meheri b'meinu. At that point, we're davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Mashiach. V'sein chalkeinu b'sayresecha. And at that point, we will learn not just that the learning should be to suppress our azus, but the purpose of the learning will be v'sein chalkeinu b'sayresecha. L'shem shemayim, to learn Torah. And at that point, to Yasa Shalom Aleinu V'Kalam Beis Yisrael, at the time when there's Shalom in the world, then we don't have to worry about not being able to survive, and we will not have to have this characteristic of Azus. There's a fundamental machloitis in the Rishonim. How, now that we identify that David HaMelech did not want to accept the Gvoinim into Klal Yisrael, because they did not act as Klal Yisrael is expected to act, what does that mean? Some Rishonim say that they didn't display the Midas HaRachmonis, whereas other Rishonim learn that they didn't display any of the Midas that the Gemara identifies in Klal Yisrael. They weren't Beishonim, they acted without Rachmonis, and they didn't act respectfully to David and to Shaul, who were kings. They certainly didn't show Rachmanis and Chesed in what they demanded should be done to Shaul's children. So Mefarshim explained, there's a nafkamina la'alocha. The nafkamina la'alocha is, our Gemara is saying that somebody who doesn't have the proper characteristics should not be accepted into Klal Yisrael. So the question is, does it mean that he doesn't have any of the characteristics? Or if he's already missing one of the characteristics, he already should not be accepted? According to the Manda Amrim that say that the Gevoinim were missing the Midah of Rachmanis, so we see as soon as one characteristic is missing, they should not be accepted. According to the Manda Amr that says they were missing all the characteristics, then only if all the characteristics are missing, such a person should not be accepted into Klal Yisrael. And the Farshim go on to explain that as we've been learning this week, the various people who are not accepted into Klal Yisrael, we can now understand why a Ptsudaka, who we discussed, can't have children, doesn't have in himself the Midas HaRachmanis. A Mamzer, who's not accepted into Klal Yisrael, is because he's an Azponim. And a Maini, as we learned, L'kidmu Eschem B'lechem Amayim, so they don't have the Midah of Goyim Lechasadim, and that's why they're not welcome into Klal Yisrael. But it's interesting to note that the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, he has a different explanation of Rachmanim, Beishonim, Gachim, Lechsodim. He says that it doesn't only refer to how we act towards other people. It's how we act to ourselves. Rachmanim. We should have rachmanis on ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a neshama. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to do Torah and mitzvahs. And we have to have rachmanis on ourselves to use the neshama properly. By shanim, we should be ashamed of the neshama that's a cheluk alokai memal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into us if we don't act properly. And goyim lechesodim, a person should do chesed with the neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that neshama so much wants that the person should learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Explain the Mefarshim. We say in Tefillah, it says in Tehillim, Ki Govar Oleinu Chazdoi. Ki Govar. If we will have the midos of Gemilas Chesed by Shonim Rachmonim, Govar, we will have these midos Aleinu Chazdoi, that's how we will be Zoicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Chesed on us. And that's how the Mefarshim also explained, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hine Chichein Yivorech Gever. Cain is the Gematria 70. Whenever the Gemara wants to use an example of a person who has a long life, it always says that he lived 70 years. Hine Chichein. How does a person want to be blessed, Yivorech, that he should have a Riches Yomim? Gover. If he will have in himself the Midas of Gemilas Chesed by Shonim and Rachmonim, he will be Zoichet Riches Yomim. So the Gemara continues to say what David HaMelech did. Says the Gemara, V'yikach HaMelech Ashnei Bnei Ritzpah Bas Ayo. The king takes the two children of Ritzpah Bas Ayo, Ashiyod L'Shol, Esarmoni Mesmivoshes, Veschameshes Bnei Meichel Bashol, Ashiyolda Ladriel Bemberze HaMelechosi. Seven of Shaul's grandchildren. Says the Gemara, Maishnohani, why did David HaMelech pick these seven children, grandchildren? Amr Rafuna, so says Rafuna, Aviril Fnei Oren. Shaul passed, David HaMelech passed Shaul's descendants before the Oren HaKodesh. Kol Sha'oren called the soil Misa. Whoever was detained by the Oren could not move further. It was a simon that he should go to Misa. The Ushami says that it wasn't in front of the Oren, it was in front of the Mizbeach. Kol Sha'ein Oren Koltoi, whoever was able to pass further, was left L'chai. Master of Achba Ketina, it says in the Pasuk, V'yachmal HaMelech Al Mifiboishis Ben Yonatan and Shaul, that he had Rechmonus Al Mifiboishis Yohainatan's son, and the Mefarshim explained why specifically on him. One is because Yonatan wasn't part of the plan of destroying Noivir Kahanim. Another pshat is because Mifiboishis was a big Talmud Chochem. How did he have Rechmonus? Says the Gemara, Shloi Hiviroi. He did not pass him before the Oren. Asked the Gemara, V'chimas upon him yesh b'dovah, is that correct to show favoritism to Mephibosheth? El Shavira v'koltoi. So the Gemara, he did pass him, and he was detained. However, afterwards, Abikas Shlov Rachmim, David HaMelech was mispalil, upoltoi, and the Oren let him go. Asked the Gemara, V'katamas upon him yesh b'dovah, is that fear? He let him go, and then somebody else came in his place. Says the Gemara, El Shembikesh Rachmim Shloik Leteno Oren. What David HaMelech did was he davened that when Mephibosheth will pass, the Oren should not detain him. And there's a tshuva from the Marib Ben Leiv, one of the early Achroinim, lived about 500 years ago, that discusses this shaila. A very fundamental, very shaila came up many times, unfortunately, in our history. He discusses the shaila. What would be the halacha if there was a decree made that people from the city, Jews from the city, some Jews have to be given over to the government, either for death or for hard work, etc. And a person has the ability, has the connections to get himself or someone he knows excluded from that decree. Does a person have a right to do that or not? So he answers that once the decree has been made, if a person will accomplish it, what he's going to essentially accomplish is that he'll be excluded at the expense of someone else. The halach is that the person may not do that. Only, he says, two heterim. One heter is if the decree has not yet been issued, then the halach is the person could try to save himself. And another situation he describes is where it's not certain that by him having himself saved or having someone else, that he's able to have someone else saved, someone else will be taken in his place. Under those circumstances, says the Maribal, a person can attempt to save himself or save someone he knows. The Mefarshim also go on to say that he should do it in a very quiet way. As we see in our Gemara, David HaMelech was mispalel from Mephibosheth, but he certainly didn't do it in a public way to show favoritism. Quietly, he was mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Mephibosheth should be saved. Ask the Gemara, why were the grandchildren of Shaul punished for the aveirah that their grandfather did? For ksiv lo yumsu avos abanim, children should not die because of the sins of their forefathers. Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Chiba Abba, Am Rav Yochran, Mutav Shetiyaka Ois Achas Min HaTorah. It's preferable that even one letter of the Torah should be taken out, Vayischal Hashem Shemayim B'Faretzia, Tavoy Rechel Hashem, to show that the Gevoinim were treated equally. But Tva points out that certainly the children of the descendants of Shaul, who we find died here, were deserving of death. It was just not something that was well known to everybody, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu had them killed publicly to make this Kiddush Hashem. The Mefarshim also asked, it isn't one letter, it's a whole pasuk that's being uprooted. So the Tva says that when the Gemara says Ois Achas, it doesn't actually mean one letter, it means a pasuk. But others say it is one letter, because it's the word Loi, they shouldn't, but in the word Loi, the Aleph is not pronounced, the Lamed is pronounced. So the letter Lamed is the letter that was left out to just to show how Kadosh Baruch Hu acts. Continues the Gemara. V'tikach, so we have these seven grandchildren of Shaul that were left to hang. Says the Pasuk, V'tikach ritva bas ayos asak, she takes the sak v'titeilo ha'atzor v'tchilas tzir anitach mayim aleim v'nashmayim. She puts over sackcloth on the rack from the beginning of the harvest until when rain came down. She doesn't let birds rest on them, yoimam, or animals by night. Ask the Gemara, how could these people be left to hang for such a long time? For ksiv, there's a din in the Torah, like solon nivlosay alaitz, that a corpse is not left to hang. Answers the Gemara, Amr Yoichan Mashim Ramashim Beit Sadik, Mutav Shetioka Eis Achs from the Torah. It's better that one letter of the Torah, where the Torah says that we're not allowed to do this, Viskadishem Shemayim Befresia, in order that there should be a Kiddush Hashem. And as Mefarshim explained, what was Taka, the reasoning that they allowed these corpses to continue hanging? Some Mefarshim explained that is the power of a Kiddush Hashem. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara now, even a Kiddush Hashem to Goyim. Others explain that the halach of Leisolon of Nosoi is only when Bezdin has someone murdered. These people were not killed in the regular form of a Bezdin. Rather, they were killed by David because of a specific, special situation. And therefore, the Isra of Leisolon of Nosoi did not apply. Shaiover Misham Oimrim. People were passed these corpses hanging would say, Mativin Shalayla, what happened here? So people would say, Halola b'nei Malachim Haim, they're the descendants of the king. Ma'asu, what did they do that they deserve such a terrible punishment? Pashtu Yudeim b'gerim gerurim, they mistreated unaccepted gerim. Because as we learned and will be learning, the Nesinim were a lower class gerim. As we learned, we're not allowed to accept, we're not allowed to marry Nesinim, then they're only left to be Avodim. Amra, ein lecha umeshurui ledavik bakazu. There is no greater nation than Klal Yisrael. Or ma b'nei melachim kach. If they treated princes this way, b'nei hajoytus achas kam v'kama, certainly how would they treat regular people? Or ma gerim gerurim kach. If they worried about the honor of gerim gerurim, al Yisrael achas kam v'kama, how much they worry about the honor of Klal Yisrael? B'yad, at that time, the Tosfah Yisrael Meim V'chamishim Elef, 150 more Gerim came to Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, V'hi L'Shloima, Shivim Elef Noisi Savol, Shloima Melech had 70,000 people who carried packages, V'shmoinim Elef Chayitz Bahar, and 80 people who worked in the mountains. Ask the Gemara, who says that those 150,000 people that were working for Shmuel? Shmloima, were Gerim, but Dilma Yisrael have, perhaps they were Jews. Answers the Gemara, Loisalka Daitach. The Ksiv, the Bnei Yisrael, Loinos, Shmloima Evid. Shmloima did not take Avodim from Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Dilma Dugzu Ba'alma. Maybe these were people that Shlomo Melech hired. Says the Gemara Al Mahocha. Yes, but Shlomo Kol Anoshim Hagerim Ashebet Yisrael. V'yimtzu Mei Elef Gibor. V'yasbem Shim Elef Noisi Sabol. Shmen Elef Tzchayitz Behar. So the pasuk clearly identifies that the people who, the 150,000 people who did this work, were people that were accepted as Gerim. Ask the Rishonim. Tosfos already asked the question that we've learned many times in our Masechta, as recently as Adaf Ayin Vav, that the halacha is that be made David b'shloima lekiblu gerim. The gerim were not accepted into Klal Yisrael because the concern was that they were only becoming gerim because they had, Klal Yisrael was experiencing such wonderful times, and they only became gerim because of that. So how does the Gemara say that in time of Shloima they accepted 150,000 new gerim? So Tosfos actually says it doesn't mean that they became full-fledged Gerim. What it means is that they became associated with Klal Yisrael, but not that they were full-fledged Gerim. The Rashba and the Rambam, however, explain that the halacha is that even though there are times when Gerim are not to be accepted into Klal Yisrael, if a Bezdin does accept them, their Geris is valid. And that these 150,000 Gerim were accepted by Bezdin Shel Hajoitus, a Bezdin of people who weren't really that familiar with the Halacha, and once they were accepted, they remained part of Klal Yisrael. Tosfos, the Achronim explained, doesn't agree with the Rashba and the Rambam, because Tosfos holds that in the time where there's a Bezdin Mumchim, a Bezdin of Hajoitus are not accepted to make Geris. The Ritva gives a different pshat in the Gemara. Ritva says that even though in the times of David and Shlomo, Gerim were not accepted, that's because we had a concern that they had ulterior motives. But if we'll know for sure that their motives were honest and sincere, that they really want to become part of Klal Yisrael, then even in the times of David and Shlomo, Gerim were accepted. Ask the Gemara, Unasinim, David Gazaleim, was this decree that the Nesinim not be part of Klal Yisrael a gzera of David, Moshe goes aleim? It's already a gzera from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. The ksiv mechaytiv etzecha vatshoyev meimecha, that there were water carriers and choppers of wood. And like Rashi explains, the pasuk says tapchem neshechem v'gercha shebekerach mechnecha mechaytiv etzecha vatshoyev meimecha. So Rashi explains, why does the pasuk single out mechaytiv etzecha vatshoyev meimecha? It must be there was a separate class of people who were in that category. And who were they? The Nesinim. Answers the Gemara. Moshe Gozal Hudar. Moshe's decree was for that generation. David Gozal Kuladara. David's Gzera was forever, for all generations of Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, but we don't need a Gzera from David. Vakati Yeshua Gozaleim. There was already a Gzera from the time of Yeshua. The Ksiv, V'yitim Yeshua Bayoim Ahu, Chayt Ve'etzim, V'shoy V'mayim, Le'eda U'mezbeach Hashem. So Yeshua already had made the Nesinim in Tavodim. Answers the Gemara, Yeshua Gozal B'zman Shebeis Mishkayim. Yeshua's Gzera was for the time of when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. David Gozer Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim. David Gzeru is for later. And there's a very fundamental machlokes Rishonim lahalocha, how we look at the Nesinim. Rashi says, we go back to Gemara that we learned on Daf Ayin Ches, that the Nesinim that are being discussed in our Gemara are Nesinim who went through, who did not go through Geirus. And those Nesinim have this halacha that they're avodim. Tosfos disagrees. He quotes the Rebbeinu Tam that the halacha is that Nesinim may not be married even after Geiris, and even though that they went through Geiris, there was another gzera that was made by Moshe, Yeshua, and David, that, that only should they not be allowed to be married into, but they also have to become avodim. There's an interesting approach from the Ramban quoted in the Melchama, that he says in the Melchamas, that he says that there was a difference between the first generation, Nesinim, Gevinim, and the future generations. The first generation, Nesinim, were not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael even after Geiris, and future generations, they were allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, they were not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, but that's not Midaraisa, it was only a din that David and Yeshua had made them into Avodim. Says the Gemara, B'mei Rebbe, Bikshu Lahat Nesinim. In the time of Rebbe, they wanted to permit Nesinim into Klal Yisrael. Amalam Rabbeinu, so Rebbe said, Chalkeinu Natir, our share that they're Avodim, we could release. Chalik Mizbeach Miyatir, how could we release the part that they're supposed to be Avodim to the Mizbeach? So as Tosfos explains, there are two concepts. There's a concept of Ein Bezdin Rishoy Levatel Divrei Bezdin Chaveroi. A later Bezdin has no right to uproot what an earlier Bezdin said. Elm Ken Gol Memena B'Chochma B'Minyan. Unless the later Bezdin is greater. But here, says Tosfos, it's a different concept that was being employed. Here the concept was Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The Bezdin has a right to say somebody's to manipulate the financial ownership of things in Klal Yisrael. And since they, and explained the Rishonim in explaining Tosfos, since here these Nesinim were Avodim, and the part, and that's a financial aspect, they're my servants, so therefore Bezdin has a right to release that Hefker Bezdin Hefker. But what was said to what Rebbe said was that is okay, Bezdin has the right to say Hefker Bezdin Hefker only what relates to Klal Yisrael, to the Hamoinam, but to what relates to the Bezdin, to what relates to the Mizbeach, that they have no right to employ the concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, and that's why that part of the Avdus cannot be released. And therefore Rashi goes on to explain, since that part cannot be released, they're going to remain Avodim anyway as far as the Mizbeach is concerned, so that's why they remain Avodim regarding all aspects. Says the Gemara, Upligid Rav Chiya bar Abba. Rebbe's opinion is an argument with Rav Chiya bar Abba said. Dom Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, Chelek Eda L'Olam Asa. The part that belongs for Klal Yisrael is also forever Chelek Mizbeach, but that they were made Avodim to the Mizbeach, that the Nesinim were made Avodim for the Mizbeach, that's only Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Osir. That was only as long as the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when the Beis HaMikdash is no longer standing, Shari, that is permitted. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that the part of the Mizbeach was automatically permitted once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the only part of Avdus that's left with the Nesinim is the part that they Avodim to Klal Yisrael, and on that part, Hefker Bezdin Hefker could be employed. But other Rishonim explain that the part that they were Avodim to the Mizbeach wasn't permanently released. It was only released for as long as the Mizbeach is no longer standing. And the concern was that if that part is no longer applicable, as long as the Mizbeach is not standing, and our part would be released, Amidst Hashem, Mashiach is coming imminently, and we won't bring back the Nesinim to be Avodim, and therefore already in the times of the Mizbeach, when the Mizbeach was not standing, they were careful not to let the Nesinim not become Avodim out of concern how will they be treated when Mashiach comes, the Mehera B'Yameinu. As we have learned, in the midst of Yibum is that a brother should marry the widow of a brother who died without children. The purpose is l'hokim l'ochiv shem, that this new marriage there'll be children, and that will establish the name of the brother who passed away. So therefore, as we have previously learned in our Masechta, if the person who's going to do Yibam, the brother who's going to do Yibam, is unable to have children, he's a soros, so then there's no point in the midst in him doing Yibum. Similarly, if the brother who passed away was a person who was unable to have children. He was a saris. So as the pasuk says, "V'lo yimacha shmoi miYisrael." The purpose of the mitzvah of Yibum is that this brother who passed away's name should not be wiped out. Prat l'mi sheshmai machui. This person's name is already wiped out anyway, unfortunately, because he died without, he was a soros. So says the Mishnah. So under that understanding, a person who was a soros, or the brother of the person who was a soros, there is no mitzvah Yibum. Says Rabbi Yeshua, Shemati, I have a Messiah, Shasaris Chalitz V'Chotzen L'Ishtai, that the mitzvah of Chalitza and Yibum does apply by a Saris, Vasaris Loichalitz V'Loichalitzen L'Ishtai, and it doesn't apply. However, Ve'eli L'Farish, I can't explain by what does this mean, does it apply, does not apply. Amr Bekiva, so Bekiva comments, and the Afarish, I could explain it. Sris Adam Chalitz V'Chotzen L'Ishtai, if he's a Sris Adam, that he was born healthy and then became mutilated, he does chalitza, and his wife is a candidate for chalitza. Because at one point he was suitable before he became a suris adam. However, suris chama, who, as we have explained, from the moment of birth he was a suris rachman otzlan lechalitz lechotzim leishtai, he never had a moment that he was able to do the mitzvah. And as the Rishonim explained, why should it make a difference if he was suitable at one point or he was not suitable at one point? Explained the Rishonim this way. Rabbi Chanan in the Kaivitz Aretz quotes the Rishonim that in mitzvahs we don't always require that the purpose of the mitzvah should be fulfilled. And he says a gevaldig raya, because as we've learned earlier, the mitzvah of Yibum is accomplished with harah. Harah is the beginning of Bia. A child can't be conceived just from Harah. But as long as there's an ability at any degree for the mitzvah to be fulfilled, then the mitzvah is considered fulfilled. Otherwise, the mitzvah is not fulfilled at all by Sris Chama, and he's exempt. Rabbi Lezai meant just the opposite. Loiki. A Sris Chama Cholzin V'Cholzin L'Ishtoi. A Sris Chama is a candidate to do Yibum Mechalitza, or his wife should receive Yibum Mechalitza. And Rishonim actually point out, and the Gemara will refer to this also, that even though the Mishnah keeps on using the word Cholitz, in some of the examples the Mishnah can actually comment Yibum. Just since Chalitza is always applicable, the Mishnah says the word Cholitz. Why is a Sris Chama differently? A Sris Chama could possibly be cured. Sris Adam, because as we've learned earlier in this parak, his aver was actually permanently damaged. Rabbi Yeshua ben Maseir said about Ben Megusas, Shai B'Shalayim, who lived in Shalayim, and he was a Sris Adam. The Yivma is Ishtoi, his wife received Yibum, the kind of Rabbi Akiva, to show us that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and the Rishonim actually say that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, first of all, because normally we don't follow Rabbi Lezer, because Rabbi Lezer Shemuti Hu, Rabbi Lezer is a who followed, was the Talmidei Shammai. Another reason is, because we see here Rabbi Yeshua quotes a story, halacha lamaisa, where they follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And also because we have a situation, as we discussed in our Masechta, of Machloikis. First we have a Machloikis V'Achkach Stam, and wherever there's a Machloikis V'Achkach Stam, we follow the Stam. Continues the Mishnah. Hasaris L'Chaylos V'Loy M'Yavim. Hasaris doesn't do Chalitza or Yibim. V'Kein Eilness. If it's a woman who's unable to have children, L'Chaletz V'Loy M'Yavim, she's not a candidate for Chalitza of Yibim if she's the widow of someone who died without children. Says the Mishnah. Hasaris if a soros did do chalitza, why pasla? The halacha, as we learned, is a chalutza is disqualified for marrying a kohen. Since this chalitza was a meaningless chalitza, because a soros' chalitza is not a chalitza, so the woman who received chalitza from this soros is not considered a chalutza that should become disqualified for marrying a kohen. However, bala, if a soros had relations with his sister-in-law, pasla, he disqualifies her from ever marrying a kohen. Neshibila's nus, she becomes a zoyna, because this was a relationship that was not allowed to take place. There was no mitzvah yibum, given the fact that he's a saris, and therefore she's a zoyna, becomes disqualified for marrying a kohen. The kain ayilnis shecholtza la'achim, if an ayilnis received chalitza, given that that chalitza was meaningless, loy paslua, she doesn't become disqualified for marrying a kohen. However, ba'ala, if she received be'ila, which she wasn't supposed to, paslua, she becomes disqualified for marrying a kohen, and then she be lost a bila's nus, the bila's a bila's nus, she becomes a zayna. Michti, ask the Gemara, shemin le Rabbi Kivud amar, Rabbi Kiva is the Tana that holds throughout Shas, the Chayv Elavin Kechayv Krisus Damim, that a Chayv Elavin, even if there's only an Issa Lav, is treated like a Chiyiv Karis. And Chayv Krisus Lav Nei Chalitz V'yimim Nenu. As we know, somebody, as we learned actually already in the first Mishnah of Amasachta, wherever there's a Chiyiv Karis, there is no Chiyiv Yibam. So if the man in our Mishnah, the Saris that's being referred to in our Mishnah, is a Ptsua Daka, which we learned a Ptsua Daka is not allowed to get married into Kal Hashem, so even though Ptsua Daka is only a Chiyav Lav, but according to Rabbi Kiva, Chiyav Lav is treated the same way as a Chiyav Karis is treated. So how could somebody who's a Chiyav Lav do Yibam? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Ami, says Rav Ami, Hochem Ma'iskinen, the case being referred to in our Mishnah is Kegoin Shnosav Ochiv Giyoris. The brother who had passed away was married to Giyoris. Rav Kiva Savalok Krab Yoisi, Rav Kiva holds like Krab Yoisi, the Omar, Kahal Geirim Lo Ikrakol, that a Kahal Geirim are not considered Kahal, a Ptsua Daka may marry a Giyoris. So since the system law here was a Giyoris, that's why Yibam could take place, even though the Yavam is a Ptsua Daka that has a Chiyav Lav to marry into Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Yachi Yivum Yavim, why is there only Chalitza mentioned in the Mishnah? There should even be ability to do Yibam. Answers the Gemara, Enochanami. According to Bekiva, this Ptsua Daka, this Ris Odom, will allow to do Yibam. But as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, since Rabbi Shua kept on speaking about a case of Chaylitz, because Rabbi Shua holds that a Ptsua Daka may not marry, and therefore, even though there's a mitzvah of Yibam, we're only going to allow him to do Chalitza. Rabbi Shua holds that even a Giyoris, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, even a Giyoris cannot marry a Ptsua Daka. So since Rabbi Shua said Chaylitz, Ami Iu Nami Chaylitz. He also used the word chaylitz, but actually Rabbi Kiva would say that yibum, given that the widow is a geyiris, she may even receive yibum from the brother-in-law who is a ptsua daka. And the Gemara proves that point. Dekanami, the Tani Hed Rabbi Yishuv ben Besera al ben Megusas, Shoy b'Rushalayim, Sris Adam, he was a Sris Adam, the yivmu is ishta, he did yibum, not just chalitza. The kind of Rabbi Kiva Shmami know that if the system was a Giyoris, even though the Yavim is a Ptsua Daka, Yibum may be done. Masav Rava asked the Gemara, how can we explain Rabbi Kiva this way? The following Brisa represents Rabbi Kiva's opinion. It says in the Brisa, Ptsua Daka v'krus Shivcha, Sris Adam v'azokin, a person who's already old and can't have children. Oy Chaltsin, Oy Miyavim, either Kedu Chalitz or Yibim, Ketzat, Mesu. If these men died, v'lehem noshim v'lehem achim, and they had wives that survived them and brothers that survived them, v'omdu achim v'osu maimer v'nishaseim, and the brothers did maimer, which as we learned earlier in the Masechta, even though maimer midaraisa really doesn't have any standing, the woman who received maimer and the brother who gave the maimer now are more connected than all the other brother-in-laws and widows. Or nosnu get, if a get was given, which again as we learned earlier, get really doesn't have any standing midaraisa, but midrabanon, now yibum should not be done. Oshecholtzu, or they did chalitza, masha osu osu. What they did is the camp is done. Vimbalu, if they do bia, they're considered kanu, it's considered a valid act of yibum. Mesu achim, if the brothers of these people who are srisim died, And these men stood and did maimer with the brothers' wives. V'nosnu get, or they gave get. Aicholzu they did chalitza. Masha asu v'mbalu kanu v'asu l'kaimen. But the yibam is a good yibam. However, they may not remain remarried. Mishum shenema lo yivav tzudak v'krus shivch v'kal Hashem. Alma b'kol askinim. So we obviously see that we're talking about that the widows were not giyoris. Because if they were giyoris, why would the brisa say that they may not remain married? Elam arava. The case is kigon shenaflo, that the sris adam. What is the case of our mishnah where she fell to the yavam when he was still healthy, and then afterwards lupsayf niftza, then he became a ptsuadaka. So even though now she's no longer allowed to remain with him, since at the moment of death she was a candidate for Yibam, because the brother-in-law wasn't a Ptsua Daka at that time, the mitzvah of Yibam has to be done. Amalei Baya asked the Baya, V'leisi isa Ptsua Daka v'nechi isa de Yibam, even though at the moment of death there was a mitzvah of Yibam, the isa Ptsua Daka that came, even though it came later, should uproot that chiv. Didn't we learn Milay Tanan, Gamaliel Omer, and Miyano, Mayano, Mimlav, Tamtan Achatagdal, the Tetzel Luzu, Mishum Achaisisha? The Mishnah there discusses a case where their two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, are married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. And Rachel is a Gdoila, Leah is a Ketana. Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah the Ketana. Thou was only Kedusha the Rabbanan, her mother or brothers married her off. And there, then, Reuven dies without children. So now Shimon is married to Leah, Rachel's sister, but the Kedushin are not a Kedusha deraisa, as we just explained, because she's a Ketana. Says Reb Gamliel, Shimon cannot live with his wife Leah until she becomes a Gedoila. And also, if Leah will do Miyun in Shimon, then Shimon can do Yibum and Rachel. But if not, when Leah becomes a Gedoila, the marriage of Leah and Shimon becomes a Kedusha Daraisa, and Rachel is now an Achais Ishtoi, and exempt from Yibum. Even though we have a situation that at the moment of death, Rachel and Shimon, there was Zika between Shimon and Rachel, we see that Zika could become dissolved. So why not here too? Even though at the moment of death, the brother-in-law was not a Ptsua Daka, but if he becomes a Ptsua Daka later, why shouldn't that dissolve the previous Zika? Alma osa isa achoisi shivadachi. The isa achoisi that only comes later has the ability to dissolve the Zika. Hachanami, why don't we say the nesa isa Ptsua Daka v'netchi dissolve the Zika that was there at death? Elam Rabbi Yosef, what was our question of Akiva? That he treats a chiv karas like a chiv lav like a chiv karas. And therefore, since this man is a Ptsua Daka, there should be no chiv yibum, like we find wherever there is a chiv karas, there is no chiv yibum. Answers the Gemara, Hai tana hach tana debay Reb Akiva hi. It's this tana that represents the sheet of Reb Akiva that says, Mechayv lavin the share. When a chayv lavin treated like chayv karas? When there's a blood relation between these people, that's when there's a mamzer. Mechayv lav and greater, even though it's a chiv lav, but if it's not a chiv lav based on a relationship, lo yav a mamzer. A ptsua daka is a chiv lav, but it's not based on any blood relation, and therefore even a kiva then does not treat a chiv lavin like a chiv karis. Ask the Gemara, ikri kan lohakim loachiv shem, v'hol loy bar hachihu. Ask the Gemara, Akiva is teaching us that if a person, even though he's a Sris Adam, and he's unable to have children, he could still do Yibum. But the purpose of Yibum is to have children, and this person is unable to have children. Amar Rava, says Rava, if we're always going to take that factor into consideration, Im Kain, Ein Lecha Isha Shekshere LeYavam. No woman should be a candidate for Yibam. Shalai Nasa Baal Sris Chamash Sha'achas Kaidul Misasai. Every man, before he passes away, Rachman Lutzlan, becomes a Sris because of the pain of death, or the pain of the impending death. So his wife is the Almana of Asaris. And we're saying that the Almana of Asaris is not a candidate for Yibam. It must be that we don't take that into consideration. And as long as the person was suitable to have children, even though at the end of his life he became a Saris, it's irrelevant. Similarly, even though the brother-in-law was a Saris, it shouldn't make a difference. And that's why Rabbi Akiva holds that a Saris, a Ptsudaka, could do Yibam, and his wife, the wife of a Saris, Adam, is a candidate for Yibam. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Peruka de Rava Pirfihi. But according to Rabbi Elazar, what we just said should be a question on Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar now, Mishnah says that a Saris Adam, who had, even though he had a period of suitability, does not perform chalitza, so yet why does Rabbi Elazar agree that the widow of a Saris Adam is suitable for Yibam? Every widow is a widow of a Saris Adam, as we just explained, and according to Rabbi Elazar, a Saris Adam, or the widow of a Saris Adam, is not a candidate for Yibam. Answers the Gemara, Hasan Kshusa Dachilabai. There, it's not that Rabbi Elazar holds that everybody before they die becomes a Saris Adam. It's that he becomes weak, and therefore maybe he can't easily have children, but not that he's considered a full-fledged Saris Adam, that he would absolve and exclude his wife from Yibam. And therefore we have a fundamental machlokes, as the Chasam Sofer, between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva indeed holds that every person before he dies becomes a Saris Adam, but that doesn't affect his wife from being a candidate from Yibam, because according to Rabbi Elazar, Saris Adam is not excluded. According to Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, a person doesn't become a Saris Adam that quickly. A Saris Adam is not just weakness, and therefore Rabbi Elazar doesn't consider the widow of every person who dies the widow of a Saris Adam, and therefore she's a candidate for Yibam.